The portal is closed. How confident are we in this roster, really? Tonight, we're putting numbers on every position and finding out where Wisconsin truly stands. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers on today's show. Now that the transfer portal window is closed, we're doing a full confidence check on Wisconsin football. We're going position by position, assigning confidence ratings out of 100, discussing ceiling and floor, and how the most recent portal additions factor into the bigger picture as we look ahead to the spring. We'll also touch on Wisconsin basketball, how this season is starting to take shape, and what another win yesterday tells us about where this team might be headed. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what we're doing, hit the subscribe button so you know when we make new content. Hit that like button. Thank you all for your support of the show. We appreciate all the comments. Definitely comment on the show. We're doing confidence ratings tonight. Definitely want to hear what you guys have to say about that. So put that in the comments as well. Justin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. We had a nice victory yesterday. Well, my soccer team sucked. I don't know about yours.
we don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. Let's skip over soccer. Badgers had a good basketball victory. Could have been better, but it was they got the job done, which at this point we'll take those victories because we had a kind of struggling start to the season. So it's good to see them kind of string together some good performances here. Football, I have literally zero interest in the NFL playoffs.
I love the NFL playoffs, but I'm annoyed because I don't like the Patriots. I hate the Patriots, and it looks like they're going to win today. Bodragon and Will Hand is in the room saying confidence to do what? Good question, actually. We're going to get to that when we get to these confidence rankings. We're going to talk about, I have a specific definition for that, which we will get to. But quick programming stuff to lead off today. On January 31st, the Ohio State game in Madison. Justin and I are going to be there with Ryan. We're doing a full-on meetup. So I wanted to put that out there as well. We're going to be at Friday night. We're going to be at Pooley's, which is on the east side of Madison at 6 o'clock on Saturday, the 31st, pre-gaming at my old stomping grounds from when I was in college, the Echo Tap on Main Street. And there's another one over there, Main Street. We might be over there, but we'll be in that area, definitely at the Echo Tap. So come hang out with us. Let us know. We'd love to see you when you're up there, which is always fun. It's always really fun for us to meet people and hang out and go to a Badger game. Hopefully we can break a streak, Justin, which we kind of have an ugly streak of never going to see a win.
Yeah, no,
we're going to need to win that game. If you haven't checked out Rajiv's Corner episodes on the podcast only version, so not on YouTube, podcast only, those drop on Wednesdays. This last past week, I talked about the CSC, the College Sports Commission, and how they're trying to find a way to govern the sport, which is interesting. So go check that out if you're interested in that. All right. Before we get into new additions and then talk about confidence stuff, rather than our three and out again, we're in the playoffs. So Justin, I want a prediction here. Indiana, Miami tomorrow. What do you think? Give me a score prediction for the national championship game.
I feel pretty confident that Indiana both wins and covers. I'm going to say it's going to be like 31-17. I think there's a chance that it's worse than that, simply because I don't trust Miami to play consistently clean football for an entire game. And I feel pretty darn confident that Indiana will, which is why I don't believe that Miami can win the game. I just think I look at the quarterback position and I think it heavily favors Indiana in that game because I think that Indiana's defense is capable of turning Beck into a check down artist and he doesn't seem to like pushing the ball down the field to begin with. So I feel really good about Indiana being able to kind of make them very one dimensional. And it really will come down to, can they run the football, which Miami's good at. But I don't have the same faith in Miami being able to shut down Indiana. I think you're looking at an NFL quarterback playing on a college team who just sees some things that normal college quarterbacks don't.
This is probably one of the most like torn I've ever been going into a national title game because of how much I love the Big Ten. I love the Big Ten.
And you really hate Indiana.
And I really hate Indiana. So it's like really a struggle for me. I wouldn't root for Purdue or Indiana in the national title game. I didn't root for Purdue in the national title basketball. I just don't want those teams to win.
There's very many teams in the Big Ten that I'm like if it was Rutgers, I wouldn't for them. Maryland, I wouldn't be rooting for them. Like, I don't want any of the teams that were bad for the bulk of the time I've been alive to have them suddenly come up. I understand why you just like
this is exactly what kills me at Indiana. You're exactly right.
I also look at it from the standpoint of like at least Indiana is founding member. Like they've been around in the Big Ten forever. Some of these other teams that are new to a conference, I really don't want to see them have success.
I mean, 3 years ago, three, 4 years ago, anyone would have said in the next two years from now, Indiana is going to be one of the best teams in college football. And maybe, and this is one thing that really yikes. It makes you almost all, you have to have the discussion of whether this is one of the best college teams we've ever seen. Like it's up, it's getting to be that level of domination of good teams. So that's yikes. I'm not rooting for Indiana. I do think Indiana wins, which is very frustrating for me. If I could see a Miami upset, I would love that, frankly. I would hate it for the Big Ten, but I would love it for my own.
See, side. I don't want them to win because there has been no team in college football who's behaved more poorly than Miami has when it comes to all this portal guys.
Yeah, for sure. I hate but Miami.
I want to see them get just shafted hard in this game. Like, I would love to see them get blown out. And then, like I said the other day on Ryan's podcast, I'm like, when I was talking to you, I would love to see every team, like, go out and just mess with Miami and be like, we're all going to take a player. Let's all just go above and beyond and spend more than Miami's capable of spending on them and just ravage their roster and be like, you know what? F you, you've screwed with literally everybody in college football. We're going to come and screw you over. Like we're all going to make a concerted effort to collude and just screw you guys over so that you suck because you guys have been kind of one of those teams, them and LSU, who have like literally gone above and beyond and just acted like there's no repercussions to anything. We've seen it with Damon Williams. We saw it with the quarterback from Duke.
Arian Mensah.
I want to see them get screwed. I just do. I want to see them take it on the chin and be like, we spent all this money and it literally blew up in our face epically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people share that opinion and I don't like Miami either. Obviously they have the whole Xavier Lucas situation. Now Darian Mensah, it's annoying. Anyway, let's get into talking about the Badgers. Justin is for, oh, there you go. All right. I thought you were frozen for a minute. All right. So we did have Jake Anderson last week, but we didn't get a chance to talk to him because he wasn't on my list and I didn't do any research on him, but we didn't do that. So we're going to talk about him tonight. We're also going to talk about Liam Denitz and Denigel Cooper. So just a couple quick things on the new guys that are in the portal since we last had a show. Then we'll do our conference rating. So Justin, Jake Anderson, Illinois State, 6'5", 295-pound defensive lineman. What do you like about him and the film that you have been able to find? Because it's not easy.
There's not much out there. I did some searching, didn't find too much that actually really helps us get a firm grasp on him. Good frame, 6'5", 295. I would guess they'd get him up to 305 or 310 by the time season starts. I think you're looking at him as like a Peterson or, you know, Barton type interior guy. And I think that he can play that role. I think you have a guy who's a pretty good athlete. That's a big boy that can be in the middle and kind of hold down that point. And I think that really helps with a guy next to him in like Poyser, who you look at, who's a little bit more undersized and is more of an explosive guy that you feel like you have somebody who's capable of just kind of holding things down in the middle, where Poyser might be a guy who's a little bit more of an like knifing through the offensive line, you have a guy who can kind of just eat up some of those double teams.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think we're adding depth. We needed to replace depth at this position, and absolutely, we've done that. We've done that quite a bit now with several guys, I think four or five almost, to D linemen, which it is important, and we needed to fulfill this. He has got potential. He has got the size that you need to be, even if it's a one down, like, you know, like a third down kind of a guy, or just he's going to be a specialist. He could play different places on the line. I think that it's a good pickup. It's a depth pickup. And that's really where it is. The other one that's similar to that, Denigel Cooper, 6'3", 260, a little undersized, can play kind of inside or outside, from Appalachian State. Thoughts on Denigel?
I haven't heard exactly what their plan is for him. My gut is saying that he's the Peterson replacement. Yeah. I think he's got a couple of years left. You have a guy who I think you can probably add weight to if you want to. He was kind of a menace at Appalachian State. I believe he blocked two kicks this year. That bodes well for him in terms of his ability to push the pocket a little bit. So I'm hoping you get him stronger. You get him capable of being a guy who can cause some disruption. But I think it's another nice depth piece. That's something that I don't know that we necessarily felt great about. I don't think we clearly saw what we truly had this last year there, with Walker kind of being banged up once the season started. So we kind of, Peterson took an oversized role there, where once Walker came back, I think Peterson started playing better because he got the opportunity to kind of let loose a little bit more. I think that's what you're going to see kind of on those edge guys. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Garner on that edge there and how much he's actually in there, because it feels like Boone and Cooper are going to be the guys that are kind of holding that oversized edge position.
Oh, that, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Not much to add there. I think, again, I do think he can play in certain situations as, you know, like a three or five tech. So I think it's I think he's a good, again, depth piece there. On the edge, the last guy that we'll talk about today is Liam Denitz. I'm not probably saying his name incorrectly, but 6'5", 227 edge rusher out of Hope College. Some pretty good gaudy numbers. Now, it is Hope College. I'm not saying he's playing. It's great competition up there. But 21 tackles for loss and 15 sacks. That's really good at pretty much any level of football you're playing at. That's a pretty solid stat line there. So he can bring some speed. You know, definitely, obviously, he's got a good motor, really good vision out there and finding those tackles, plays with a good level of violence. I just don't know if he's really up for the Big Ten and can really match the offensive lineman he's going to face up against, but still a good at.
Yeah, my perspective on him is I see a lot more athlete than I do a technically sound football player. And that makes me question what he's actually going to be able to do this year. I love the athleticism. I feel like he needs to get significantly stronger, upper body-wise. I don't see a ton of bend. I see a guy who's really explosive getting out of his stance, but I don't necessarily see a guy who's going to be able to leverage things as much on the edge in the Big Ten. And I question his hand use and ability to get off blocks at this level. I would love to see him make a jump and they do some really good work with his technique here. But my question with this is, does it come together this year? He's a guy that if we had 2 years with, I would love it. I'm not sure that he gets there by the end of this year. And that's the only downside to this. I do think he's a guy that you maybe can have set wide in certain situations where it's an obvious passing down and just say, you're going to try and get just outrun him to the edge, the tackle, and try to get to the quarterback. That I think you can do, because there's not going to be many quarterbacks that are going to be able to outrun him.
Yeah. Okay, so those are the three new additions that we added since we last spoke. Let's get into some confidence stuff, Justin. So this is kind of a little fun thing, and what we're going to do is we're going to give this out of 100%, but we're answering this question: how confident are you out of 100% that the portal adds and the room as it sits now, the actual room itself, the roster in that room, how confident are you in this being a successful group? Now, successful group can be a little bit of a, you know, like how successful is it? I think we can be pretty subjective in understanding that when we're done with the season, we can look back and say, was that successful group or would not? Right. Like, are we good basically with this room as it sits now? And how confident are you that this room is going to be fine? This is a successful group. this is going to be a plus for us on the team, right? Versus like, oh, this could be an issue, like the offensive line was last year, like the cornerback room was last year, things like that. Versus areas that we know were good, like the inside linebacker room last year, that was a good room. We had a good year with that group. So that's what we're looking at. Do you agree with that definition, yeah. Justin?
Yeah. Okay. That's exactly what I was going to say, because there's going to be certain positions that I'm lower on simply because I need to see it before I trust it.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll start with QB, of course. The big ad there, we all know, Colton Joseph. That's the big one. Where are you at on quarterback?
I'm at 70%. And I say that because until I see Joseph do it at this level and be productive and be a good quarterback, it's really hard for me to say, I trust what this guy is going to be. Do you want to do a ceiling and floor now?
Yeah, we can talk about that. Yeah. Yep.
So I could see a way where he struggles and he's like 13 touchdowns, 10 picks. And I could see another route where he ends up being close to what he was this last year. You know, 2,600 yards passing, has, you know, 20 plus touchdowns, passes, and it runs for like 500 or 600 yards. Like that could be a way that this season plays out. And it could be the complete opposite, like I said. Until I know that he's going to function at a high level, it's really hard for me to go above 70%. Now, if he does it this year, I'd be at like 90% going into next year.
I feel pretty good about this. I'm at 80% confidence for the quarterback room because, first of all, I like both guys we brought. I think Deuce Adams is a good ad as well. To be fair, I also liked both guys we brought in last year. Ultimately, this room is still going to depend on everything else, which is injuries. Like our assumption here is that everyone's fairly healthy. And so that's why I am at an 80. And the reason is because we have seen him play against big competition. I'm not saying he was great, but he did play Indiana. He did play Virginia Tech. He did. It's not like he's not playing the Hope College's schedule. He's playing big teams. So I will give him credit for that. And I do have confidence that he will be successful with us and that he's going to be good, of course, barring injury, which that's a thing. And Deuce Adams brings serious athleticism as well. So I think that's a nice room. I'm confident. I'm happy with it. And when I look ahead to next season, this is a room that gives me some serious, I'm happy about this. I'm at 80%. I like what I'm seeing out of this room. And I do think the ceiling could be pretty large. Like you could have a 2,700 yard season. You could have 500 to 700 yards rushing. I do also agree that there will be issues with passing in the Big Ten. I think he's going to rush for 400 or 500 yards irregardless. Yeah. But it's the passing. The question is, can he get really good passing yards? Can he improve? Can he have a good pass completion percentage against Big Ten quarterbacks? But I am confident in the success of the room for sure. Let's go to running back. I'm at like a 70% on running back. I'm happy with what we brought in with Abu Sama. And I don't, at the present time, I don't expect getting the Tuca to play. So that's a problem. But with Dupree and with Sama and with the other guy they brought in as well, his name is Case Me Jackson or whatever his name is. Like, I think I'm okay with this room because I think that Abu Sama brings a ton of experience. He is a starting running back. Like he is going to be the bell cow. He's going to get the carries. And I'm fine with that. I think he brings that skill set. I'm happy with position.
Yeah, I'm at 80%. I'm trying to remember the name of that TCU running back. It's Nate something that Palmer, we brought in.
Palmer,
yes. I actually am at 80% with this. I like Sama, and I like some of the pieces that we added to that room. I feel pretty confident. Now, obviously, this room is leveraged heavily by the fact that the offensive line has to perform. But if the offensive line performs and is at least average, I like the pieces that are in this room and think that they can be a productive group. So I think there's a nice mix of players who have proven that they're capable of being productive and Sama and some other pieces that you look at that you're like, I can see just by raw tools that this guy can be at least competent in this running game. Now I don't, there's nobody I look at in the room and go, this guy has a chance to be an X factor or a difference maker. But I think there's a lot of pieces in there for us to have a productive running game.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree with this one.
What's okay, your ceiling and floor on this? Let's hit this up on this one.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Sama is a guy that could be a 1,000-yard rusher. I think like that to me is like the ceiling for this, right? Is he's a 1,000-yard rusher. you throw in Palmer, you throw in Dupree, and maybe that, you know, they're like your 350-ish type of yards.
What would be a good year for you for the overall room in terms of rushing yards?
So for me, what I want to see is 5 yards per carry. Okay. That's like for like 4.7 and above yards per carry. That's how I look at it. I'm not too big on the total yards, because I think that depends on how good, I think ultimately like Joseph is going to get a lot of yards too. So if I'm looking at the running backs and they can go over 4.7 yards a carry, I will be happy. But I think the floor, based because of Sama's experience, is probably like 4.1, 4.1. It might be lower, which would be bad, but I think 4.7 would be really good. If we could get that, which with a good offensive line, again, I think that's where I need to be.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think I agree with that. And I was thinking about it from raw rushing numbers, and I'm like, I don't want to put a floor on this, because who knows what that is. Like, yeah, that could be 400 yards based off of how this last year went. And that will be an interesting thing when we get to the offensive line. I think that we can go and brute numbers there a little bit more than what we're talking about with the running backs. But I think that's fair. I think you're looking at a floor of 4.2 yards per carry to a ceiling of being like somebody can be 5+ if everything really comes together. Sama proved last year he was like, what, 5.7 or something like that?
I thought it was 5.2, but I could be wrong.
I could be wrong on that too. But still, over five yards a carry, seeing that again for a Wisconsin back would be incredible. Yeah. We haven't been there in a very long time. It's been 4 or 5 years now. We need to have somebody that gets to that spot.
For sure. This one's going to be lower, I'll tell you that. Wide receiver, where are you at with wide receiver confidence of this room as it sits now being a success?
60% maybe.
Ooh, that's way higher than I'm at. Yeah.
I think there's pieces in there that I think can be solid. I think people are a little too down on this. I don't expect the wide receiver room to be overly explosive. I don't think there's going to be a guy who goes out there and has like an incredible season. I think what you're looking at is, do you think you can find a guy in there who can give you 600 or 700 yards? I do think that there's a possibility that somebody puts it together and is capable of putting up that type of season. There's just nobody in that room that I look at that I can say, this guy's going to come out and have 800 yards, 900 yards. There's nobody. I think you can stumble into 6 or 7 on a guy, but I think finding anyone that's going to be like legitimately a problem, there's nobody in that room that I can look at right now and say that with.
Yeah. So I'm at 40% here. Not because, look, I'm really happy that Eugene Hilton's back. I really think Shamar Rigby can be special. I think Domingo can be successful. I think we've got good guys here, but what I don't think we ended up really going out and getting was a true number one, which I think we all agree with. We didn't get that guy that then will make, you know, Hilton as a number two, and whether it's, you know, Brooks or whether it's Rigby or something at the three, I feel like we would be in a good spot there with a better number one. That being said, if Hilton takes a jump, then that could be massive. If Rigby and Domingo are better than we even think they are, if Brooks takes a step, like there are guys in the room, but I think without the number one for me, like I do worry about this room, and that's why I have a 40% confidence that this is going to be a successful year for the wide receiver. This is a successful group as it sits right now.
Do you think we might be sleeping on a guy like Rigby?
Yeah, I like Rigby a lot. I think he's potentially undervalued in this portal class. But
I mean, it's telling that he was brought in with that first group. Like, they clearly saw something they liked about him to get him in that early.
Honestly, man, like, I'm having a little bit of PTSD from feeling like we've got a good receiver room, and then we end up not having a good receiver room and guys can't get separation. Now, I do think that Grimes puts them in better positions to
we had guys running three a lot last year, and there was just no way to throw the football to them.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to have like a 700 yard receiver or anything like that. I just want good production, and I want to be able to get separation and utilize Colton's strengths, hopefully, to get guys open, and we'll see what happens. And Grimes has to do really well if this unit's going to be successful. He has got to scheme these guys open, because we don't have the number one that's going to just get open. I think Hilton can, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's going to be predicated based off of a good run game. We're going to have to be able to run the football so we can play action. I do think there's going to be a lot of like scheming, like you're saying, we're going to run a lot of mesh and stuff like that, where we're going to try and drag guys through and kind of open things up for quick hitters. I don't know how much intermediate passing there's going to be, because I don't know if I trust any of these guys to be super comfortable. I do continue to have the view on this that Joseph is going to kind of put teams in a bind with his mobility in terms of what they want to do against us defensively. I think we're going to see a ton of zone coverage this next year, because I just don't think teams are going to want to turn their back on him a lot. And I think that that's going to lead, if you can find some of these guys who can just understand where they can sit down in the soft spots in the zone, we can have a productive passing game just based off of that. Now, whether or not these guys understand where those spots are and how to get to them, that is a completely unknown. And I think that that's going to be a telling part of this, because I do think, like, it's, we're going to see a lot of what Iowa does against us this year, because they're going to look at it and they're gonna be like, we're not going to let this guy run free and just kill us with his legs, because he can get around the, you know, break contain and pick up 10 to 15 yards every time because he's fast enough to do it.
I think you bring up a really good point about the zone coverage, and it's why Colton Joseph needs to be accurate, because there are going to be those holes. There's going to be those spots, the soft spots. And I think Grimes can get them there, but can he make that accurate throw when in some of these tight windows while he's trying to escape the pocket? And that's his definition of a good quarterback. So if he can do it, it'd be great. All right. So tight end, this is an interesting one for me. I'm pretty much 50-50 on this. We don't have a guy in here. Like, I'm happy with Steck. I think Steck is a really good part of this room. And I guess I'm comfortable with it, but I'm just sort of like, I don't really know when we come back at the end of next season, are we going to say this was successful tight end group? I'm sort of in the middle on this.
Let's set a standard to what do we view for your best guy in that room for it to be considered a solid season? 25 catches for your best guy?
Yeah, I mean, so Mason had 30 catches last year.
Was that with the standard that we're looking at? Because that was with a broken quarterback room.
Yeah.
So I think 30 catches might be...
I would say 35 catches.
35? Okay. See, I would say it... Man, so much depends on how... Like, I know we want to use the tight ends. And it's so hard because you look at Joseph's stats and, like, they didn't use a tight end at Old Dominion. So it's like, how is that going to change with him here? That's probably a fair number. I don't think it's like you're probably looking for your tight end to be your third best receiver in this offense. And if that's the case, yeah, I think 50-50 is probably about right. I don't know if there's a guy in that room that I look at that I think is going to have a Lance Mason 30 to 35 catches. He would clearly to me be, if he was able to come back, would clearly be head and shoulders above everybody else in that room as a receiving threat. And that's with me being high on Steck. But I think Steck is probably a guy I look at that I'm like, if he has 25 catches, I think it's a really nice season for him. And that's probably where I'd slot him in. And we'll see what happens with those other two guys. I think you're looking at 20 catches or so for Jacobs, who they brought in, who I do like. I don't know that he necessarily is a guy who can be a seam stretcher. I think he's going to be a guy that's a safety valve a lot in this offense. He does. I think he's got some nice things that you look at in terms of goal line type things, where you have just a kind of Bubba Franks kind of guy who can go up and get the ball and is just a really big tight end who can be a problem for corners. So I think they have some nice pieces. I just don't know if they have an athlete that's ready to go there. We might not see that until Davis or Kors Loken turns into that type of guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you said it well with the tight end stuff there. Let's move on to O-line. This is a good topic of discussion here. I think there's going to be some mixed reactions here from the fan base on O-line and where we sit right now. Last year, of course, without really having a backup left tackle, look where we ended up. The O-line was a complete disaster this year. They did bring in four guys, Blake Cherry, Lucas Simmons, PJ Wilkins, and Austin Kowecki into the room. Solid ads there. How confident are you feeling about this room, man? I think I'm going to be lower than you on this because I just feel like we're not quite there.
So I look at this off the standard of like my floor is last year because I think that that was truly a bad offensive line. Like, I don't want to, like, denigrate the guys that were in there, but last year the level of play just was not good enough. And it really was a massive part of the struggles for this team. Our inability to run the football killed us last year. I'm at probably 65%, I would put. I feel far more comfortable with our ability to absorb an injury. And I think there's a lot of young pieces that I look at and I'm like, I think that you can expect a certain level of growth. Last year, I think the pieces that were supposed to be our best pieces were a problem. And I don't think Brunner was a great scheme fit for what we wanted to do with the wide zone type stuff. And I felt like Renfro is just often injured and not good enough at this level. And those were supposed to be two of your best pieces. Malman was what Malman's been his entire career here.
Solid.
Which was solid. There wasn't really anything you looked at where you're like, he's a dominant player. He never turned quite into the guy we expected him to be. That's probably a disservice to him because people will look at him being like kind of almost as being like a failure. He wasn't a failure. He just wasn't anything that you looked at were like any of our offensive linemen where you see guys get put into this like all Big Ten discussion. There's nobody that was deserving of that last year. Anybody that got it off of Wisconsin's reputation. And that reputation is unwarranted at this point based off of how Wisconsin offensive line play has been, probably dating back to like the early 2010s.
Well, we're going to see some of those offensive linemen because a couple of them stayed in the Big Ten. Jake Renfro went to Illinois and Joe Brunner went to IU along with Preston.
I think he'll be good there. I think what they want to do from an offensive line play standpoint, they're going to put him in a phone booth. And I think he'll be really good in that use.
Yeah, he'll be in. You're right. In a phone booth like that, he's going to be really good. Nah, he's not going to be pulling and going out there and just going nuts. He's going to just be blocking right the guy in front of him, and he's going to be good. Of course, he's going to be good because he's going to IU. Just trying to really infuriate me. But whatever, go chase your title.
By the way, another reason for Indiana wanting them to win, I want to see Riley Nowakowski get the title.
Yeah, dude, I want that too, but I still want it to be. Can it just be anyone but IU? God. Anyway, so by the way, I'm like 50-55% on the O-line. And my issue
we're not super far off.
I just feel like, and I could have been lower. I think we still don't have an adequate replacement. You said we're more injury ready. I don't know that we are more injury ready. I feel like
if
Kevin Haywood, everything relies on Kevin Haywood being back and being good, which is important, and he is a good left tackle, and I think he's going to be great. Okay, but he's still only playing in his second season and his first really full. And
I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
Yeah. And thank you. So like, I feel like we're so reliant on that working. If he gets injured again, then where are we again? And do we really have two tackles that we're excited about? Do we really want Mandel playing tackle, or is Mandel going to slide in at guard? Are we happy with Simmons and Cherry and what they're going to bring? I feel like center I'm comfortable with because we got Kowecki and we've got the backup in Corey who's going to grow. And then you've got the young guys, but I just need a little bit. I need one more experienced tackle. This is what I need. So because of that, I'm a little in the middle again. I don't really feel confident that this is going to be a great plus unit for us. If everyone's healthy, fine. But that's just, I don't know if that's really a reality for this O-line. Mm-hmm. And you have to have 7-8 guys that can be starters for your line to be successful. That's just how it is. And I don't know that we have that.
Sure. So my thoughts on this. Number one, early reporting is that Simmons is going to be a left tackle, which means that it's going to be him or Haywood at left tackle, which ultimately makes me believe that you're probably looking at Mandel staying at tackle. I don't love that, but that feels like that's likely the consideration that's going into it. I think you feel better about the options at guard over where we were last year because you're not looking at a redshirt freshman necessarily having to be the guy unless that's Cherry, who is a guy who played in like every game last year. So he's to me, I don't look at him as a freshman. I think you feel like Cubberly is probably a guy who's maybe ready to actually play at this point. I think you feel better about guys like Corey and them who've got some reps under them now. And I think you feel better about the coach that's in there. So my biggest thing is last year we were looking at a offensive line that effectively every replacement was a redshirt freshmen that hadn't played. Mm-hmm. And now you're looking at guys who some of them have gotten reps and some of them played at other spots. You feel like some of the bodies are better. The big guard they got from Ole Miss is a huge body. That's just a physical, you know, like overwhelming type player. We'll see if he's ready to go. I don't necessarily feel like he has to be. And I feel a lot of this hinges on it for me. I think Kowicki's just a much better center than what we had with Renfro and whoever else filled in at that spot. I'm not saying he's going to be an incredible run center, but I just feel like even if he's not a lights out guy in that regard, I think he's better than what we had last year. You had a guy who was kind of thrust into that position and Heinsohn, who maybe would have been better this year had he had another year to get his legs under him and actually be better in the run game, who was kind of miscast and kind of just filling in at that spot. And you had a guy in Renfro who was basically probably at what, 70%, 65% when he was playing. And that's going to be better ultimately. And the guards, I think, are physically just going to be further along in their development.
I feel like you bring up very good points, really good points about the fact that, like, if Simmons is going to battle Haywood for left tackle, and it's good, give him good competition, and either one of those guys starts, the other goes backs him up, okay. And then if Mandel stays at tackle, then you look a little bit better. But I still feel like, I think we both kind of feel like Mandel's a better guard, right? Like, don't you think so?
I do. I don't know if either one of us are – like truly understand offensive line.
Totally valid.
To argue this, totally valid. I feel like from a physical tools skill set standpoint, he fits better on the interior. I always have felt that he's the type of athlete that will be productive wherever if you just continue to drill him at it. Like, I think he'll be a good tackle by the time he leaves here, if that's ultimately where they choose to just keep him. And maybe that's where they're at now. Maybe they just have, like, listen, he's got a whole season under his belt playing tackle. We're going to play him at tackle because we're not going to continue to reset him and put him in another spot.
I like it. I think it's a good point. And he did fine. So we'll see. Yeah. I'm still 50-50, but I hear your positivity on the line, which is fair.
I think ultimately with Mandel, one of the other things I'll say too, a lot of his problems were mental. And those are things that you hopefully drill out of him this year to the point where it's just they're gone.
And you have a new coach, which, yeah, you know, hopefully could coach him up. Moving to the defensive side of the ball, let's start with D-line and then go from there. That was the question earlier was a shade of 99 starting offensive five, starting 5-0 line, which we kind of already talked about. I do think, well, let's just quickly touch on that. I think for me, it's Haywood at left tackle. And then hopefully maybe Cherry plays left guard, Kowicki, I can see like it. I don't know, Cubberley's and then Mandel. I feel like that, or Simmons. Mm-hmm. That's probably where I would be with that. It's going to be difficult though. Mm-hmm. All right. So D-line, where are you at on the defensive side of the ball, Justin, with these guys up front? Obviously, we talked about a couple people that we added today. And then we also added Hammond Russell and Junior Poyser.
I really like the interior. I'm at probably 80 to 85% that I think that they're capable of replicating what we did this last year. I think Poyser is going to be a really good player if he stays healthy. I like him in terms of his ability to disrupt the pocket. If you watch the highlights that are out there of him, he's a guy that just continuously is moving forward when he's out there. And that speaks to, he's probably got incredibly strong hands and is very strong through, you know, his trunk, so to speak, they always say. He's a guy who I think is just a problem for offensive linemen to deal with, because I think there's quite a bit of burst from him and also a lot of strength to support it. He, in my opinion, is like a stronger version of Suggs, which means I think that he can be a really good player this upcoming season on that interior defensive line.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'm at 75% on the interior of the line. I think ultimately We did what we needed to do, which was add bodies to the room. Mm-hmm. We did a good job this year about focusing on multiple spots. Like last year, we heavily emphasized the D-line, and it showed, and we were good. And this year, we've sort of done that across the board. We've strengthened heavily on the offensive line, defensive line, cornerbacks, like running backs. Like we went 30 guys are in the portal in this class. That's a lot of guys, mm-hmm. a lot of people. So I do feel like that really matters. And so I'm totally with you on this. I think Junior Poyser is going to be really good. Him and Russell, I think we're okay there. Plus the young guys that we already have, you know, guy like Dylan Johnson, like I feel like there's some growth there and we'll see what we can get. Before I move on, I do want to say congrats to the women's basketball team that just won in double overtime, by the way.
Remarkable job by that coach in her first year, especially with a roster that's still kind of bare bones compared to where it will probably be in a couple of years.
This is a 12-7 team, 4-4 in the Big Ten Conference. Definitely, you know, looking like they could be a tournament team, which is incredible to see. It would be incredible to see Wisconsin women's basketball in the tournament. We will absolutely talk about it if that happens, and we'll hopefully talk about them a little bit more as the season progresses as well. Moving to the edge, obviously the big ads there: Jane Lofton, Justice Boone. I'm at about an 75% for this one too. I'm feeling pretty good about this room. I would have liked to have added one more, like the trick guy that you love so much, you know, a Gregory. I could have had someone else. So I'm going to say 75%. I think Lofton will be good, right? He brings certainly that experience. I think Boone and again, some of the guys we already have on the team. But I'm feeling pretty good about this.
I'm lower. I'm probably at about 65%. And I say that because I really like Cheeks coming into this year, but he's the only guy I look at that I'm like, I know what I'm going to get from him. I think Clayton's going to be incredible in his first real playing time, but I don't know. And I don't know, like my fears with him is that he's going to be a kind of an electric guy as a pass rusher. Is he going to be disciplined? Is he going to stay in his rush lanes? Or is he going to be a guy who gets a little kind of loose with things because he's trying to make plays? I don't know. And until I get to see him consistently do some of that, I'm a little worried about what we're going to have. I think the big edges are going to be good, but I don't know from a pass rush standpoint that those edge guys that I totally trust that we're locked in there and that everything's going to be at the level that we want this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very much agree there. I am looking very much forward to seeing what Mike Tressel does with this group again and what Whitlow does with his group. And I just feel like Mitchell, like I was really pleased with the defense last year. We all were pretty pleased with the defense. And I think that if they can grow and the guys who are there, especially the guys like Cheeks, like you mentioned, and Clayton, if they can take big jumps, we really can see something special here, hopefully. Linebacker, I'm at pretty much a 95% on this one. You got Posa and Catalano, and I mean, you don't even need anybody else. Those guys are absolutely incredible. And the fact that we kept both of them is very special. Obviously, Allegro is a loss. We did pick up John Kamara. I'm happy with this room because of those two guys, honestly. And I think that the Heiberger and some of the guys that we have in the depth pieces on the freshmen and the young guys, I'm very good here.
Yeah, I'm at 95. If those two stay healthy this season, you're looking at probably a top five inside linebacker unit in the entire nation. I think that they'll be that productive. I think Posa's a freak of nature, and I think Catalano is about as good as it gets from a guy who I think can be just locked in and understand what he's responsible for.
Yeah, man, it's those guys are really good. I mean, it was so fun to watch two freshmen out there. Just not, they weren't even like playing, excuse me, playing well, they were dominating.
Absolutely. I think the level of play jump that we have, and somebody threw out the stat of the four games before and the four games after in terms of tackles for loss and sacks, and the numbers were insane how much they shifted when those two started playing. Yeah. It was something like we had like four sacks or something like that in the games prior, or five sacks and like 10 tackles for loss. It was something crazy low. And then after – and it was against tougher teams. They had something like 34 tackles for loss and like 20 sacks with those two out there. And it's like, yeah, they absolutely are that level of disruptive. And it's a huge problem for other teams.
All right, let's move on to cornerbacks. Where are you at on this? This is another position that we clearly focused on, brought in four guys at the cornerback position, Fletcher, West, Robinson, and Kai Bates. Where are you at on this?
I feel really good about this group. It's not going to show in terms of the confidence as much, but I feel like there's a really nice mix of experience and talent. I would say this is probably a 70 for me. And I think that the upside to this is like some of those guys could be really, really good. I think Fletcher has a chance to be one of the better corners we've had in a good bit here. I think West is a guy who I'm not quite sure what they're going to do with him, if he's going to be a slot or if he's going to be on the perimeter, but we'll see what happens with him. I think athletically, it's probably the most athletic cornerback room we've ever had. I don't know what you'd put above that. We'd have to go back to probably Barry's days to find a group that can compete on the athleticism that this group probably has.
Yeah, I'm at an 80% on this one just because obviously we had new guys, but they prioritized it. And what they've shown is when they prioritize the position in the portal, you see good success out of it, and they've done that. So I think this is going to be a strength for us next year. I feel very confident about that. And you're absolutely right. Everything you said, I agree with. The athletes, I mean, Eric Fletcher looks like a total dude. I think it's going to be really a good plus unit. And safety was another issue, obviously, that we lost some major production there, with, of course, Zachman being out last year. But we didn't love the guys that we had in the room already. Added Carson Van Dinter and Marvin Burks. Where are you at on safety?
I think I'm at 75. I think Burks was a huge get. And I think Van Dinter is probably a guy who's probably ready to take on a bigger role. And I think that gives you some confidence that if Young doesn't necessarily take the step that you're hoping that he has, that you have a guy who's capable of sliding in and taking over that spot, that's got some seasoning on him, that you're not just putting in a complete unknown.
I think this unit actually makes me I'm pretty pleased with this. I'm at an 85% with this group. And the reason is because I think that Matt Young will take a bit of a step, because we were seeing that on the field at the end of last year. We saw him improve before our eyes. And when you see that during a season and you can see things start to click, I'm not saying he was good or even he wasn't great or even good at times, but he was better. And I think that lends itself to taking another step next year and in offseason. Clearly, he's motivated to get better. He re-signed, you know, and I think that's big for us. And then you add Marvin Burks, who we know is going to be productive. And as you said about Van Dinter, I'm feeling really good about this room. We're going to talk special teams. And this is a big area for me that I want to just touch on. I'm at about a 5% with kicking. I cannot handle it. Go get a kicker. Why do we not have a kicker? Justin, we have to.
Yeah.
You can't go into a season with this much indecision. We don't have the guy. If he was the guy, it would have been the guy last year. We don't have him. So I'm very worried about this. I'm not saying that, hey, Lom could really surprise us. We need a kicker.
Yeah, I'm probably at about 20, which is still not good enough for a position that I feel is easily capable of rectifying. I mean, obviously we're not privy to practices on a day-to-day basis, so I have no idea what he actually is, but I've got to believe, given the struggles that we saw this last year, that you probably would have played him a little bit more down the stretch.
That's right.
If you truly felt that it was going to be like, he could account for any of his years could have been redshirt years. So it's not like you had to redshirt him this last year, because it's not like he was a massive part of any of the kicking over the last 5 years. So I don't know. I would like to see competition in that room where you look at it and you're like, at least have somebody in there that maybe you feel great about him, but you get somebody else in there to push him to make sure that if he is not up to snuff, that you have somebody that replaces him. Punter, on the other hand, I like West. I don't know how much finesse is in his game. He clearly has a cannon for a leg. So I would put him at about 85, 90%. And that last 10 to 15% is, what can he do in terms of being able to drop it inside the 20. If he's got that polish, he has a chance to be one of the better kickers in the entire conference or country as a punter.
I mean, it's hard to disagree. I agree with Wes. I think Wes is fine. I'm not worried about punter. My special teams is just so dependent on having a freaking kicker, and I don't want to be a team that struggles to win games, close games, because of that. So, no, I'm just never going to be okay with not getting that. We need to find that quickly. Let's touch on basketball here to wrap up the show today. By the way, anything else you wanted to add on football? I feel like I just made a quick transition.
I'm gonna weigh in on this. Parker Twins from Steve Kneebone, and there, my understanding is that we passed on them. So I would not expect to see them come into Wisconsin. Part of the portal, people need to remember, a lot of these visits happen does not mean we're necessarily sold on somebody. We want to get them around our people and find out if they feel like they fit our system, you know, fit our culture and system and everything.
There can still be ads. By the way, the portal is closed for entering it, but it's not closed for getting out of it. There are still many, many people in the portal that don't have a school, which is scary for those guys. Yeah. I imagine. I mean, they're
I started one of those comments. Somebody said there's going to be.
Yeah.
On the 1,000 players. I've said this from the get go on this. If you're not somebody who's pushing the two deep and looking for an opportunity to be a starter, it greatly would benefit you to stay at whatever school you're at, because what you are throwing out the window to make the transition to go someplace else is potentially your college being paid for, if nothing else.
That's right. They're fighting for scholarships now. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I totally am with you on this. All right. So the Badgers won again, 5-2 in conference now. Rutgers, it was an interesting game. We did the reaction show yesterday for Ryan on Locked On Badgers. Just kind of quickly overall, like, what's your biggest positive and your biggest negative so yesterday? Like, I mean, obviously the negative is like the whole thing with the second half, but like, what were your overall thoughts looking back now on that game?
I think what we're seeing is, and this is probably something that was understated yesterday, this team's ceiling when they're playing defense is really high. Playing defense and they're moving on offense, they can score. Like, they flat out just dominated the hell out of Rutgers in that first half. And when they play to that level, they're a very, very difficult team to beat. The problem is you've got to consistently play at that level. And we're probably hitting them a little hard, like I said yesterday. If they had won by 9 points and they had been kind of hovering around 9-15 the whole game, we probably would be fine with it. Unfortunately, you got up 26 and you were drubbing them and you let them back in the game and let it get down to 7. We have to have concerns about that, because there are teams that will punish you more than Rutgers can in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the thing about you said that yesterday too, about like, if we would hover around 10 or 15, I do think that ultimately I would have been upset with any team and any result that we were giving up wide open threes the way we were in the second half. I mean, literally it was, it honestly felt like Rutgers was at a shoot around. Like, what are we doing? Like, we weren't even making it difficult for them to get open threes. Like, that was, it was an automatic. It's like, well, are they going to make them? I mean, come on, man.
I think if the game had hovered around that we would have seen the defense more locked in for the bulk of the game.
And I agree with that. But that is not an excuse for me. Like,
it's not an excuse. I'm just saying if it would have played out differently.
Fair. That's true. I mean, look, and you look at the Michigan game. Like, we clearly have it in us to be that locked in, but I was frustrated by that, because it's one thing to have a team shoot well in the second half, and it's one thing to give up literally like wide open threes time and time again. That's just unacceptable. And so that was a negative. Switching to the positive, hey, we won again. We're 5-2 in conference, which is great. We've got a road game against Penn State and then 3 winnable home games, of which one of them we will be at. I'm very much thinking 9-2 is a possibility, Justin, for the end of January. And you're right. This team is starting to shoot well. And it's not just shooting better. They're playing better offensively. They're sharing the ball more. They're passing the ball more. They're creating more looks. Look at assist numbers from Nick Boyd. 25 assists and like 24 assists and 4 turnovers his last 4 games or something like that. It's obscene. Like, that's the kind of thing you expect to see. So if the offense is playing better, that's why we're shooting better. We're getting better shots. If that continues, the shooting percentage should stay, and hopefully the three-point percentage hovers around 40 or high 30s, then you can see us really winning games. And then we can move into February. We have a much tougher schedule. If we get three or four in February, now all of a sudden we're competing for the top few spots of the conference. You can see things projecting well. I'm annoyed about the defense in the second half, the rebounding in the second half, but the most important thing was the win, and we did just that. So I'm not gonna complain.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I think right now is this team is, and we talked about it a little bit. This is kind of the blueprint that guard has to put out there and basically throw out there and be like, this is a prove it season for him if he wants to earn extra money for the portal. To have these guys go out there and be like, when things are really good, this is what we're capable of being with this type of offense and good defense. And he needs them to not be a team that is a 10 seed with resources, because if they are legitimately good, he can start to sell. I didn't have huge money this year. How much better do we get if you suddenly allow me to get two players that are two of the better guys in the portal? And now we're looking at, and not that Boyd's not, he clearly is very good. But if you're getting guys, some of these, like we talked about them not getting a shot blocker, suddenly some of those wish list pieces that we couldn't afford before are guys that you suddenly can go after now. Maybe you need 1.5 mil to go get somebody who can be a good rebounder / defensive guy on the interior. And you have that money suddenly because somebody's like, yeah, we're a couple pieces away from being a really good team. I'm willing to go in the pocketbook if that's what we're getting. And I think that that's kind of what you look at with this season is last year we proved we could kind of do it. You get to continue to build on that now, proving it with a guy like Boyd who comes in and is really productive, and some of these other young pieces that other people can look at and be like, yeah, he's got some of the pieces here to kind of make where you can see a future here where things are really good. We need to continue to give him some resources to fill in around that.
Yeah. And, you know, look, after the success the football team hopefully has next year, after spending more money, that'll even be more, you know, like, sort of incentive to do it for the basketball team. And hopefully that spreads throughout the athletic department. Mm-hmm. Steve Kneebone says the bench is still weak. And I just wanted to put that up there to talk about that for a minute. Young. I think that Braden Carrington looks like he can be really good and a really good piece for this team. He just needs to do something other than shoot threes. I said that yesterday on the reaction show on Locked On Badgers. I'm fine with him shooting threes, but he can do something else too. He was just literally just jacking up threes. And I'm like, come on now. Like, he's a better player than that. I want to see more of him. And I think he needs to play more. And I wanted to ask you, do you feel like we're going to get much out of Rapp? I know he's come out of injury. He's come back from injury. He did play a little bit yesterday, did not play well. What are your thoughts on him? Like, I feel like it's been a bit of a portal bust. I hate to say, but
I think his confidence is starting to falter a little bit now. And I brought this up when we were talking about him like a week or two ago, and I said he just needs to be a guy that really truly buys in on the defense and is like, I'm going to bust my butt on defense, and then has that carry over to the offense. And he's just not that guy right now. Like, his mindset is all offense. He's got to put that work in and really buy in on the defensive side, because that ultimately is going to decide what he ends up being as a player here. If he can become a solid defender, like, you have some offensive things that will carry over. You're a good enough shooter to an extent. He doesn't really do much on the interior, but he's a good enough shooter that he is somewhat a threat. And I know it doesn't statistically show up, but like, you could see right now that it's just, he just needs a hot streak. Like, there's confidence overall with him that needs to fill in. And I think the number would jump. Because I think the stroke is good. Like, he's got a decent shooting form on his threes. We can argue, does he understand what a good shot is at times? Because I think that that's a question.
He is taking 5 threes a game, and he's shooting 28%. Yeah. I mean,
he's got to take, I think he needs to take closer to like 4.5 or 4, and because that will take some of the bad looks out.
And he's just taking more than a lot of people. He's taking the second most three. So, like, on volume, the most three-point attempts on the team are John Blackwell, who's taking 6.9, and he's taking five. That's second on the team. You can't do that and shoot 28%. I'm sorry. You can't do that. Well, now, a lot of those were earlier. A lot of those, like, recently those numbers have been lower. But I'm a little bit frustrated with Rapp, and I just think, like, Biliauskas is playing well. I think he needs to continue to grow. The more minutes he sees, the more minutes Garlock sees, he'll get a little bit better. And if Rapp can start making his threes, then hey, let's go. But you, as you said, you've got to step up on the defensive side of the floor. That's his issue. He's a defensive liability right now. And, you know, the competition is only getting better. We know this. Like, it's only getting better. It's not going the other
way. Biauskas is just more well-rounded offensively. Like, he can occasionally grab you a bucket on the interior. And he's similar to Winter in that regard, where he's not great around the basket. But if he gets good positioning, he's pretty good at finishing. Like, there's not a lot of shots that I look at with him where it's like physically he's so overmatched where he ends up taking a horrific shot that you're like, that, what were you doing? Kick that back out. He doesn't typically get into those situations. Rapp doesn't even attempt it. And that's where I get frustrated with him. Like, he's just not even there. He's like that guy that's like the 7-footer sitting around the outside. And when you're playing pickup ball, you're like, go in the post. Do something down low offensively. You're killing me just sitting here, you know, running between the three-point lines.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. For those that are just joining us, we did confidence ratings today. So go back and take a listen to that. We went out of 100 by position to talk about each group and how the portal's kind of closed. We also touched on the new additions that came through the portal this past week. The last thing that I wanted to quickly touch on before we close the show, Justin, talking about basketball, is we haven't had a show since the John Blackwell three-pointer in Minnesota, which was just insane. And I'll tell you, the best thing about that is you saw Nolan Winter, like, at half court. Evan Flood posted this, literally at half court, just kneeled down after he makes that shot, because he probably felt so small after missing those two free throws, which allowed that to happen. I cannot believe that Minnesota actually had a chance to win that game and probably could have and should have at that point. John Blackwell, incredible. What a great shot. Really good play. Just the poise for him to go down there and hit that shot. That's a big one.
Well, and it was funny because Coach Gauthier on Ryan's side when we did the post game was talking about how you saw when Winter inbounded the ball, Boyd was calling for it, and he turned and looked at Blackwell. And I'm like, yeah, that's that to me. Like, there's a lot of situations where I would probably choose Boyd for a last second shot where there's limited clock left. I would take Blackwell 10 out of 10 on that because he's just a better shooter from the perimeter. Now, if you're going to do some Tyus Edney type stuff as Boyd, where he's going to go to the rim, I probably would feel okay with him doing it. But when you're on a limited clock and you don't know what you're going to see defensively, I want somebody that has it in their bag that can put up the three.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that, like, if it's like, we got a possession, we need to get a bucket, we got 20 seconds, we're in the half court, give the ball to Nick Boyd, he'll find a bucket. I'm comfortable with that. Or he'll at least find an open guy with his assist numbers lately. But you're right. Limited clock, just give it to Blackwell. All right, that's it. Thanks for joining us. Check out Rajiv's Corner audio platforms only during the midweek. If there's big portal ads or any big new news, we'll be back. Otherwise, we'll see you next weekend as we once again talk more about football and, again, basketball. It's getting closer now. February is getting closer. Then we're going to get into March. Going to be a lot of good stuff. Thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.